What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show, hour number two. We're going to go ahead and close the phone lines because I'm falling way behind on my talking points. And, of course, in our third hour, we're going to have Ellen Brown. So I got a bunch of stuff I need to get through here. Apparently, Turkey is getting ready to form a 10,000-fighter army to battle the Kurdish forces in northern Syria. And, of course, this is becoming a very unstable situation because Syria has not allowed Turkey to operate on their territory. Of course, then Syria has not allowed the United States either, didn't stop them. Meanwhile, U.S. intelligence is out there saying that Kurdish independence is inevitable. We will prevail. We will carve off chunks of all these other countries and we'll create a new nation right there where we want it to be. So, let's see. America's arming the Kurds and the terrorists. The Turks are bombing the Kurds, and they assist the terrorists. And it's getting hard to find out whose side everybody is on. It's a very, very complicated situation to keep worked out here. The Pentagon is asking for another $262 million to hasten the training of anti-Daesh forces in Iraq and Syria. So again, on one side, ISIS is working for us. On the other, it's working against us. It really is a Gordian knot of trying to figure out what the heck is going on. Who's on whose side? What's really going on out there? Let's see. U.S.-led coalition trains the police for Raqqa once the Islamic State is driven out. And they're celebrating how they've created a new civilian police force, U.S.-trained. Which is interesting because normally that would be considered the function of the Syrian government to be training the civil police. And in any event, it looks like the Syrian government may be in Raqqa by the weekend. And these new U.S.-trained police will have to make a decision whether to obey their U.S. trainers or to basically slide on over to Syria's legitimate government. Now, up in Ukraine, apparently they have decided to breach the embargo on South Sudan. And apparently they are now supplying the country with weapons and basically fueling the humanitarian crisis in the process. In case you didn't know it, there's another one of these botched interventions going on down in Sudan, South Sudan. A senior Iranian official, Ali Shamkhani, speaking at the reporters at his arrival at the Russian capital, Moscow, is saying that all of these petrodollars are turning the Middle East into the West's arms depot. And it's in response, of course, to this huge, huge arms deal with Saudi Arabia that Donald Trump is out there promoting. And it's kind of interesting where you have the gun grabbers in this country want to shut down the manufacturers of civilian weapons, saying that, well, if the civilian weapons are out there, then gun crime inevitably is going to go up, which is not always true. And yet here, it's okay for the military weapons. Yeah, we'll sell them everywhere. And if a war breaks out, it's not our responsibility. We just sold the tools. That's all here. Ron Paul is out there saying that, yes, in point of fact, Iran is now in the crosshairs with Saudi Arabia as the U.S. proxy. And he says, unfortunately, sadly, the neocons are still writing the script for the U.S. government. And unfortunately, Donald Trump is going along with it, for which we are all very, very disappointed. Now, here's an interesting story, and they're making a little bit of a big deal out of it. It's over in the Daily Mail. The U.S. Defense Secretary James Mattis apparently was not consulted by the generals who dropped that mother of all bombs. Apparently, he was caught by surprise that it was used, and it probably shouldn't have been because witnesses on the ground are saying it's nowhere near as powerful as claimed. Technically, yes, lower-level generals can deploy whatever non-nuclear weapons they want to do. But it seems like there may be some issues with the chain of command and that more and more we're seeing the Pentagon itself act independently of the chain of command, of the Secretary of Defense and of the President. Now, up in Afghanistan, one of the big reasons for all this new talk about a new U.S. escalation in Afghanistan is the claim that Russia is arming the Taliban. We can't settle down Afghanistan because Russia's arming the Taliban. They're coming back in. It's their revenge for the U.S. driving them out of Afghanistan back when. Unfortunately, like so many other headline-grabbing allegations, there's no support for it. And apparently the Defense Intelligence Agency has finally stepped forward and admitted to the Senate there is no physical evidence that Russia is giving arms to the Taliban. It's just another big, fat, war-starting lie. All right, we're going to do a shout-out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. Now, over in the Middle East, Donald Trump has been making a lot of news, a lot of headlines here. He's trying to apply the art of the deal in the Middle East, selling wars and terrorism. And a lot of people are very, very critical with it, that he's out there talking about peace. At the same time, he's selling the machinery for war on a vast scale. And Trump's style, his throwaway comments during his campaign, were very entertaining. But apparently now that he's president, it's being seen quite critically by the corporate media. And by the way, yes, 80% of the corporate media coverage on Donald Trump is negative. They've been keeping count. The corporate media does not want Trump to be there. It's hard to say they're just carrying a grudge from Hillary's loss, or they may very seriously be trying to lay the foundation for Trump to be a single-term president in 2020. But they are, one thing is very obvious to anybody looking at the corporate media, especially this slapdown of Sean Hannity. The corporate media has a bias, it has an agenda, and it's not keeping the public fully informed. Now, meanwhile, Rand Paul is planning to get a vote in the U.S. Senate opposing this Saudi weapons deal. Because a lot of people are very unhappy with it over the fact that Saudi Arabia doesn't really have a good human rights records. Saudi Arabia has been committing a humanitarian disaster in Yemen. And it is another case of a flip-flop, because it wasn't all that long ago that Donald Trump claimed that Saudi Arabia was behind 9/11. Now, maybe when he was over there in Israel, Netanyahu whispered in his ear, actually, we did it, so you can go ahead and sell the weapons to Saudi Arabia. But it is a rather strange accommodation. Now, as you know, they're talking about an Arab NATO, a unified Middle Eastern military cooperation, if you will. And basically, Peter Ford, the former British ambassador to Syria and Bahrain, is saying it's a myth. It's not going to happen. He says the Saudis and the Emirates would never dare put their troops onto a battlefield in Syria or Iraq out of fear their troops would mutiny and join ISIS. Apparently things aren't all that stable in those countries either, and their military is having problems with their leadership. Now, Robert Fisk, who's an English writer, journalist, has come on out and said the reality is it's Saudi Arabia and not Iran that is the fountainhead of terrorism. Now, I think his list is a little bit narrow. We know that the U.S. sponsors terrorism. We know George Soros sponsors terrorism. We know that Israel's behind much of the terrorism we see in the world. But when the U.S. wants to invade a country, it starts this campaign of propaganda. Oh, they abuse human rights. They're anti-Semitic. They support terror. They have nuclear weapons, they have poison gas, and just down this laundry list of all the things until finally everybody says, oh, it's such a horrible place, of course we have a right to wipe them off the globe. But we've heard it so many times, it really isn't getting a lot of traction. And I'm sure that the internal polling is showing that. The American people just aren't buying this stuff anymore. We've heard it too many times before. And it turned out to be a lie. Now, over in Carbonated TV, they're making a point that Trump's Israel peace message is useless as long as we go on giving Israel weapons. Because of Israel's long track record of aggressions against its neighbors. And apparently, this is over at Blacklisted News, Russian journalist is asking a question that a lot of people have been asking. Why doesn't ISIS ever attack or threaten Israel? And, of course, Assad is out there saying that it is Israel supporting all the terrorists in the region. It's a very complex situation. Now then, over in the Philippines, in the city of Marawi, apparently ISIS is trying to take control of the city. Duterte's had to declare a national emergency and martial law. And the latest story is that ISIS may have succeeded in taking over that city. There's almost no mention of it going on in the media. Is this another U.S.-backed coup d'etat? Was the U.S. using ISIS in the Philippines the same way they were using it in Syria to take out Duterte because of his crackdown on the drug trade in that country? Because remember, the U.S. and the Philippines, they were all friends. Everybody's all hugging each other and we're all good. And then all of a sudden, Duterte looks at just how out of control the drug problem is in his country, and he starts a very harsh crackdown on the drug dealers. And remember, Obama went on over there and said, no, you can't do that. And in a single stroke, just absolutely destroyed the friendly relations between the Philippines and the United States. And now we have ISIS is over there trying to take over the country. It's things like this that lead us to describe the U.S. government as a narcocracy. In other words, the drug trade, the CIA drug trade, is the primary driving force of everything that's going on here. I'm very alarmed at how much I'm hearing about the summer of rage, of riots, of revolution, of civil war. And those are things that I have been trying to find a way to avoid for going on 20 years. It is starting to look like it's inevitable, and we should all be making the appropriate precautions to protect ourselves and our loved ones. But it does seem that the U.S. government long ago passed the point where there was any hope of redemption, of a return to the republic. And it does seem irretrievable at this point. And it's a very, very sad thing to be hearing. All right, let's turn to the economic news. Apparently, the latest bailout for Greece has failed. And as a result of that, Greece is now looking at a default. Athens is on the verge of going into bankruptcy, and apparently this will actually take them out of the European Union. And we knew this was going to come sooner or later because the last several bailouts for Greece were simply loans to help them to pay back the earlier loans. None of that money went to benefit the people of Greece. The people of Greece are being looted and plundered to please the bankers. And they will do it to every country that they get their hands on. We're seeing it down in Venezuela. We saw it in Cyprus. We're seeing it here in the streets of America. They literally are addicts to money, addicts to wealth. And even worse, they cannot feel that they are wealthy unless they look out the windows of their palaces and see that everybody else is poor. And they wield so much power over the rest of us through those private central banks. And apparently, even in the European Parliament, some of the members of the Parliament are saying this has gone on too far with Greece. And they're lashing out at Germany's finance minister over his obsession with more austerity on the people of Greece. And they're saying Greece has been destroyed by all these cuts to pensions and public spending. and it's suffering under a debt burden it cannot ever pay off. And that is exactly what's happening. Now, meanwhile, in the world of Bitcoin, Bitcoin has gone above $2,400 after the China downgrade. Moody's has downgraded China's rating from A1 to AA3 over their slowing economy and growing debt. And that shot Bitcoin up even higher. And I think I'm joining a lot of people in concern that it is in a bubble. And so if you want to get in and ride it for a little way and get out, but if you get on in and you expect it's just going to keep up going on up forever, it isn't. At some point, there will be a correction. There has to be. It's the way these dynamics work. As I said before, Moody's has downgraded China from an A1 to an AA3 over concerns of their slowing economy and growing debt. And the outlook is basically from stable... I'm sorry. They're citing concerns to support growth, and it's supporting debt growth across the economy. Let's see. All right, let me go back on that one here. Basically, some of the things that are happening in China are a cause of concern, and China is in the process of trying to deleverage some of their exposure. It's cutting into the bank's profit margins. And apparently, interbank credit risk concerns have pushed the bank's cost of borrowing beyond the rate they charge their customers for loans for the first time in history. In other words, when the Chinese banks are making a loan, they're actually losing money because they're having to pay more for that money they're loaning out than they are getting from the customers. And that's a very, very troubling sign. Over at Marks and Spencer, their profits have tumbled 64%. It's another sign of the retail Mageddon. Here in Hawaii, we've been talking about how consumer debt is skyrocketing. One quarter of American people cannot meet their month-to-month bills. They're being forced to rely on their credit cards, going deeper and deeper into debt, which, of course, the central banks love. The more debt, the longer they can keep the Ponzi scheme going. But it is at record highs, 2008 highs, and apparently because of our high cost of living here in Hawaii, we have the second highest consumer debt per person in the nation. And it is out of control. It is out of control. There's really only one way to solve it. Well, there's two ways. The first way is just let it all collapse. The second way is we need a jubilee. We need a reset. Just write off all the debts and say, we're starting from scratch right now, and the economies will take off. But it is that huge and growing unstoppable debt and its awareness that is taking all these economies down. And the reason is because lying at the heart of the private central banks is that deep, dark secret that by design, the private central banks create more debt than money with which to pay the debt. They use that awareness of debt to control nations and their people. And the debt will grow and grow and grow. It doesn't matter how hard you work, how much you sacrifice. Look at what's going on in Greece. Eventually, the debt crashes the system. Now, over in Europe, talking about the refugee crisis, Poland is standing up to this open border situation, saying, Germany created this mess. Let Germany deal with it. And stop compelling all the European countries to take in these refugees that are causing such problems. Brussels, meanwhile, is out there literally talking about charging Poland thousands of euros for every refused refugee. Just pushing that globalist agenda. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking about immigration, refugee problem. And apparently, Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Facebook, he's now doing his impersonation of Bill Gates. He's using his wealth and his influence, his power, to place himself on the global stage, deciding what is best for the rest of us. And apparently, his Open Borders group is out there saying that enforcing immigration law hurts public safety. And this is a talking point that we have heard from several people, the pro-immigration, pro-refugee, pro-open border people. They can't actually document that is the case, that enforcing immigration law somehow is a threat to public safety. Not enforcing immigration law seems to be the bigger threat when you look at the crime spree that is going across Europe right now. Sweden was finally forced to admit that right now 90% of all their gun shootings are being done by the refugees. They've got an out-of-control rape epidemic going on over there. These are all threats to public safety. But all these big money junkies, George Soros and now Zuckerberg, they all want a single global government. And, of course, basically Zuckerberg is positioning Facebook to be the social media for the entire world. It will be mandated. You will use Facebook to communicate with each other so we can keep an eye on you. Now, a little bit of good news. Attorney General Jeff Sessions is now demanding that so-called sanctuary cities who are dropping that label to preserve their federal funding. He's saying dropping the label is not enough. You must prove. You must document that you are now complying with federal immigration law. And I think that's a really good step to do, because it's very easy for a governor or a mayor to say, all right, we're not a sanctuary city anymore, and then go on basically interfering with immigration enforcement. So that's a good thing to do. Now, this is out of Portland, and it's weird. It's just a weird story. Apparently, there was a burrito shop owned by a white woman, and it's been forced to close under the accusation of cultural appropriation. In other words, along with all these other attacks on white people and everything, the idea now is that Mexican restaurants should only be owned by Mexicans. Chinese restaurants should only be owned and operated by Chinese, and so forth. Try and create this idea that some of these refugees will now have business opportunities because they're going to set up these various retail-themed restaurants that are now being denied to the indigenous population. But, I mean, this is political correctness run absolutely wild. This idea that a white person can't, just for the heck of it, have a French pastry shop or a Chinese restaurant or a Mexican food place or a Thai restaurant. That really is way, way over the top. And it is discrimination. It is discrimination. And by the way, it doesn't always work out. Many, many years ago, I was in Milan with my first wife. And despite being surrounded by world-class Italian restaurants, she wanted Chinese food. So we hunted down a Chinese restaurant in Milan, being run by some Chinese, and it was the worst Chinese food I'd ever had in my life. So a little bit of a warning about this idea of cultural appropriation. This is a very, very tragic story. And we're going to go ahead and open the lines for the rest of this half hour until Ellen Brown comes on. Apparently, there was the 16-year-old student, Corey Walgren. And he was like, he was a junior at Naperville North High School in Naperville, Illinois. Normal, social, good-looking kid, honor roll student, looking to attend a Big Ten college. And he, I'll tell you what happened to him when we come back from this commercial break. It's a tragedy.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
The new word on the street is bloated. Yeah, you eat this food, GMO, herbicide, pesticide. Foods aren't safe anymore. And then we eat them, and we're bloated. Our stomach says, no, no, no more, Seymour. So what we have to do is drink the tea. Are you on the tea? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Super strength tea. It will help you with the new word, bloated. You can get it today. Log on to GetTheTea.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no work, can't draw no pay. Unemployment getting...
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And we're talking about this story. 16-year-old Corey Walgren, junior at Naperville North High School in Naperville, Illinois. Perfectly normal kid, honor roll student, ready to go to college. And apparently he had made a cell phone video of himself having sex with a female classmate. The rumor then got out that he had showed the video to a third party. They cannot confirm that he actually did that. It was only a rumor. But they dragged him on in and said he was now guilty of the production and distribution of child pornography. And the kid basically walked on out, walked up to a parking structure, and jumped off. Now, there's obviously, I don't like the idea of child pornography. But in this case, we're talking about kids having sex playing with a camera. And there's nothing new with that. That was one of the big reasons the Polaroid camera took off the way it did when it first came on out. You didn't have to risk sending your film off to the photo lab at the drugstore. And I think there needs to be an allowance made because kids do have sex and they like to play with their toys. And they just destroyed this young kid's life and he killed himself. And that tells us that the system is seriously out of whack. It really is. All right, we're going to take some phone calls. Miroslav in London, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to ask about a few things, and I have a bit of a comment. Now, this guy who resolved the issue with malware a few weeks ago,
yes.
The question is, where did he got the malware? Right.
Well, if you're a security researcher, there are security companies that will actually capture a specimen of the malware, and then they'll basically have it available to look at in a form that is not going to infect your system. Usually what they'll do is a disassembly on the code so that it's no longer an executable, or there'll be other protections. But security researchers do pass these malwares back and forth amongst each other to just try and stay on top of the problem.
Right. So why wasn't the person who made the malware, why did he then buy the domain? So he could have bought the domain with bitcoins and then not register it. I mean, register it, but not put the record.
Because the instant you register a domain, it's going to show up in the DNS, even if it's just pointing back to the domain registration company. And that domain was inside the WannaCry ransomware, apparently as a kill switch. That was the mechanism.
I understand that. But then it could have checked where it points to. So, because I've been working with software for many years, and that just sounds a little bit strange. It was just a comment, but that's a flying thing. I have other questions for you.
Okay.
You don't mind. A bit of comment. I created the software some time ago, and I sent it to various companies to try to advertise it, and for which I think it would be helpful. And it turns out people are afraid to try it just because of malware, and it's perfectly excellent software, in my opinion, but people are afraid to try it. So how would you go about, if you have any ideas, how to kind of tell people to how to put any kind of trust so that people will try it and see if it works for them?
Well, there is a system you can get on computers. It's called a sandbox. It's a virtual machine that operates in a walled-off area of memory and is unable, anything running in the sandbox is unable to communicate with anything outside the sandbox, and that's one way to do it. Many companies that deal with software submissions actually have a separate air-gapped computer. It's not on their internal LAN, and they will run things on that.
Yeah.
Now, depending upon what your software does, rather than simply send them the software, if they're close to you, is to arrange a visit where you come on in with a laptop that is running the product you are attempting to sell and demonstrate it to them. Because if they decide they want to buy your software, obviously they will be buying the source code, and they will then be able to verify that there is no malware inside there.
Right, so there isn't a way, easy way to... I mean, I thought so, but I thought to ask you. There isn't an easy way to send them things and impute some kind of a trust so they would, a marketing employee would try it. There isn't an easy way.
Well, you need to connect with somebody at the company who is sophisticated enough in computers to understand virtual machines and sandboxes that is really... the best way to go. And yeah, right now, unfortunately, because of all the malware and the ransomware, companies are instituting policies. You will not install anything or run anything on this machine other than what's work-related. And it is, unfortunately, an impediment for small-scale software developers because much of these ransomware companies, malware companies, they have legitimate business fronts. And many years ago, we got burned when we had what appeared to be a legitimate company wanted to place an ad on our website that involved a flash animation, and it turned out the flash animation was putting out malware, and we had to disconnect from them, and that's why, as far as the What Really Happened website itself, we do not allow flash animation of any kind. It's a huge security problem. I don't know why people are still using it.
Right. Yeah.
Okay?
All right. Yeah, I have one more thing. A couple of days ago, because when I received the feedback from people that they're just afraid to try the software and there is no way I can persuade them to do that, I took a piece of another software of mine, and I checked the digital signature. It is fine. So then I went and corrupted it, and I checked the digital signature with properties window, and it is now corrupted. It says it is not, but the software is run easily. So just click it and Windows starts it. And my question for Microsoft is why they don't check that the digital signature of software is corrupted. If they would just check that the digital signature of software is corrupted, then it not start the software, or not start non-digitally signed software, or start non-digitally signed software after several warning screens, then most of the malware goes killed.
Well, if you're looking at a corrupted digital signature, you ought to be suspicious, because it is not uncommon for cyber criminals to take a legitimate piece of software and add their malware into it and then forward it along. It's called a man-in-the-middle attack,
right.
And you should be very, very concerned about that. And that's why I was telling people, allow me to finish, please, and then we're going to let you go. You should never download patches or drivers or updates to software from anybody but the original source website. These websites that are out there saying, come here, we've got all the drivers you could ever need, we'll scan your machine for free and upload the drivers, very often those are used as vectors for malware attacks. I think that you need to consult somebody who is far more expert in the field of software sales to corporations than I am, because I'm not an expert in that field. Okay?
You didn't get me. My last question. What I'm saying is that there is an easy solution for all malware. That's what I'm saying. If Microsoft would just not start corrupted digital software with digital with corrupted digital signatures, then malware goes dead. Because to get a digital signature, you have to register with the signing company, and they know who you are. You have to pay them. They know your bank details. So if somebody signs a software, then they are very well known who they are. So a proper malware wouldn't be signed. Because if they signed, everybody knows who they are. And if Microsoft just checks which software is not signed and doesn't start non-signed software, and doesn't start software with corrupted signatures, then there is no room for malware. That's my point.
It sounds like a good idea, but there have already been several cases where attempts at digital signatures or even the certificates for websites have been compromised and forged successfully. So it sounds good in theory. I don't know that it could be made to work. Anyway, Miroslav, I'm running out of time. Okay. I need to let you go, and we're going to switch to Jeff in St. Paul. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, talking about cultural appropriations, I'm a cab driver. I ever shared it in about 10 years ago. My sister works in a deli that has a partnership with a Chinese food chain, so they lease a little space for their woks and refrigerators, and they have a little display case. Christmas week, one of the cooks just takes off his apron, hands it to the boss, and walks out. So the guy says to my sister, where am I going to find a wok cook on Christmas week? And my sister says, well, my brother's a cab driver. If you call him, he'll come in and try to help. So they call me. I come in, learn how to be a wok cook, right?
Yes.
And I did good. It's a great way to cook. Well, you know, after a year or so, I went and applied at a Chinese restaurant, and they refused to hire me because I wasn't Chinese. I says, can I come back and show you how I can do all your recipes? I already know them. I can know them by heart. No. And so maybe I need to start a place called the Irish Wok.
That would actually fly. You actually would have had a case of a job discrimination on the basis of race, we don't know what the rules are anymore. This idea of cultural appropriation, it's now permitted to discriminate on the basis of race. Boy, what a major setback for social progress in this country. Anyway,
now,
Jeff.
Now, like, watching your show, okay, like this afternoon, it ran for half an hour on my iPad, and then it stopped, and I reloaded it, and the video was Morris 108, and then it ran for another half hour, and it was Katy Perry on the video instead of you. So someone's messing with you.
Are you talking about BAM user, or where are you trying to watch it?
What really happened? And I placed for about a half hour, and then it crashes, and then I load it up, and there's another video on the screen.
Okay. Well, we are getting messed with on a major, major basis, and I found in Pride Loose one real major headache earlier today. It's why I was a little less than prepared for the show, and I've got to look for another one after the show is over. And it really is very, it's out of control. The cybercrime problem is totally out of control. Anyway, Jeff, running out of time. Got to let you go. Talk to you later. Nico in Southern California, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Nui Nui.
Aloha, Nui Nui.
So, on cultural appropriation, my family is Italian. We actually had a pretty, very well-known Italian restaurant in Southern California for many years. Presidents, actors, the Rat Pack, they all came in, you know. And
what
I
was
just
it
think
called?
That's ridiculous. It was called, well, it's called Petrozzello's.
Oh, I think I remember that.
Yeah, that's my family's restaurant. It closed in 1997.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, and then it was out out towards Riverside there. It was, you know, it's got a really good story to it, but the reason for calling is that, I mean, I don't know, since as long as I could remember, we had a very broad spectrum of nationalities working in the kitchen. A lot of it would be your typical Southern California workers, say, you know, probably Mexican or from south of the border. And I just think that if they really wanted to push cultural appropriation and only certain kind of people can make only certain kind of food, I think, like, every restaurant in the country would have to shut down, quite frankly. I think it's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree. Anyway, Nico, got to let you go. Running out of time. We're going to take one more phone call, then close the lines, try and get some news before Ellen Brown Jones joins us. Alex in San Antonio, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. I was calling because I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the perceived bubble that I think Bitcoin is in. I'm not sure if you're familiar with how it works, but I know at one point you said it could have been a way to create a key, but there's a blockage in the blockchain. It's literally like an impasse, and there's about 150,000 transactions that are clogged right now, and which means that if there's a pullback, people won't be able to get out of their money because they won't be able to transact. And it's one of the drawbacks that these cryptocurrencies have, because their mercantile exchange is not that huge yet.
Yes.
It is growing exponentially every day. But it's not at a point where you can trade with it like you would with regular currency, simply because the market for it isn't there yet. But it is going to grow, and it is here to stay. There's just going to be I'm just advising people, because I've been in Bitcoin since it crashed to zero, and I left $5 in there just because I wanted to be cheap. I never knew I would eventually have, you know, a good amount of money built up in Bitcoin. But now that I'm transacting in it and have a coin account, I'm finding that it is very difficult to get out of your position. Like, let's say, like, someone just asked me for a loan, and I wanted to help them, so I wanted to sell off some of my position, and I literally found myself not being able to. So I would urge caution to a lot of people that are saying, that are watching this thing go up meteorically. It's gonna come back down the same way. Because even if you wanted to transact right now and get out of it, you really can't, unless you found someone to give you actual cash for a USB or a memory card.
Yeah, that's one of the areas where the interface with the regular economy is still not well developed. I had the situation a while ago where a competing cryptocurrency was trying to get me on board promoting their particular product, and I was starting to learn how cryptocurrencies work, because I'm not an expert on that, most assuredly. But unfortunately, Hawaii outlawed that particular cryptocurrency, and so I got back out of it. I know it's a tremendous potential. My concern is ultimately that somehow the owners of the private central banks are going to find a way to own the cryptocurrencies as well and use them to their nefarious purposes, maybe even as an entree to the cashless society in place of the U.S. dollar. All right, Alex, let you go.
Okay,
got to let you go. Got to do a commercial break. We'll be right back.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, "I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you." Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And speaking of computers and encryption and everything, there is a decryptor for the WannaCry worm that is still out there. Now, the first version has pretty much stopped propagating because of that very clever gentleman in London finding the kill switch domain and registering it so it's on DNS. And the way the first version of WannaCry would work is when it infected a machine, it would go on out over the net and see if the domain existed, and if the domain did not exist, would continue to propagate itself. The second version, kill switch didn't really kill it, but slowed it down. Unfortunately, now there's a third version out where there does not appear to be a kill switch at all. So apparently, French security researchers Benjamin Delpy, Adrian Guinette, and Matt Sushi put together a ransomware decryptor that works on XP 7 and Windows 2003. We have a link to it on the front page of whatreallyhappened.com. The only problem is, we mentioned this before, it recovers the encryption key from memory inside the Windows standard encryption interface, which is something that WannaCry cannot delete once it's done encrypting your files. It deletes the key it's using internally, but the key is still inside the Windows encryption infrastructure. And this tool will find it and decrypt all your files. But again, the problem is, if the memory has been overwritten or you've rebooted the system, it is all over and done with on this situation. And it really is, it's an out-of-control problem. And for some reason, the governments of the world don't seem to be concerned about it. Well, Russia is. Russia's arresting hackers left and right over there. There is another aspect to all of this you need to be aware of, and that is, of course, the threat from WannaCry has spawned yet another surge of scammers that are out there saying, we will protect your system from WannaCry, or we will remove it. And apparently the police have issued a warning over fake support scams that are using WannaCry to scare PC users into paying up. This is coming from ZDNet. And finally, I've been talking about the problem with online advertising becoming abusive, aggressive, being used to serve up malware. It's a constant headache for us over here at whatreallyhappened.com. And according to this article over at The Verge, 1 in 5 ad-serving websites are using fraud bots to run up their clicks to defraud their advertisers. And this is a new report from White Ops, and basically saying that people will set up these online advertising companies. Apparently, it focuses more on the advertisers who serve video, and then they'll set up web bots that will visit the ads over and over again to run up the click count and defraud their advertisers. And they're saying that roughly 20% of the online advertising industry is engaging in this fraud. You know, if I did not have this strong moral ethical sense, I could be very rich right now. All right, we're going to take a break here. We're going to come back with Ellen Brown talking about the economy, talking about banking, talking about, well, whatever she wants to talk about, because she has got a lot to say. We'll be right back.
Probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells.
And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.